This episode is brought to you by CEP Compression Australia. CEP Compression brings the user more energy, greater endurance, and enhanced performance during activities. For a discount at CEP, use the following code online, local legends in running. Welcome to the Local Legends in Running podcast, where you hear the stories from local legends in the Australian running community you've simply always wanted to hear. Today in season 4, episode 77, I talk with Rob Collins from the Distance Culture Group in Brisbane. Rob's a two-time marathon champion at the Sunshine Coast Marathon in 2024 and 2022. He hasn't always run marathons though. He ran a bit in school and decided to continue running after a break in his 20s, where he joined this distance culture group. He moved over to the UK, has done a number of marathons overseas around the Europe and UK area. He's done, of course, Sunny Coast and a few others, around 8 marathons now, Rob. And being at the champion of the Sunny Coast twice now, he's got a PB as quick as 2:24 in the marathon. But aside from that, such a legend, a really laid back guy. He's a finance manager of an agricultural business here in Queensland, and just gave me so much time and insight into how he balances his training. He's got a child just in the last year, so he has to balance all his running around that. Crazily enough, he's run 2 PBs in that time as well. So, of course, he's doing something right to manage all those logistics and life challenges around the running. So I hope you enjoy hearing from Rob. It was a fantastic and insightful conversation that I had with him. Thanks for listening as always. Cheers. All right, let's start officially. I'm going to welcome the two-time Sunny Coast Marathon champ, for the men's that is, Rob Collins. Welcome.
G'day. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Ollie.
We finally got here. We've both got kids, or one child for you, isn't it? We've been trying to, well, I've been definitely trying to get my daughter down for the last hour, but we're finally here and looking forward to this very much. So you're a distance culture man. We've had a few distance culture guys on here. I'm not sure if you remember Drew Williams, a mate of mine, before coming on the show, probably less so of a connection to me to the Dewar twins, Brandon and Nick. I got to know them very well coming on here as well. And distance culture has been around for a while now in Brisbane as a running group. And it's kind of hidden behind the scenes a little bit, isn't it? But that's just the way that it works. And it's a fantastic group that we're going to talk about a bit more today. But before we get anywhere there, let's set the scene. Where are you talking from, Rob? Are you currently in Brisbane itself?
Yeah, I am. Yep. Northside Brisbane. Yes. Yep. Yep. It's not raining at the moment, so we're pretty happy. Yes.
Yeah, I'm in Nudgee and the rain's coming down pretty hard. How's your day been today, mate? You've been injured recently, so I'm going to assume you haven't been out for a run.
No, unfortunately, yeah. I picked up a bit of a foot niggle a few weeks ago, so I've just been on the bike. So I got out about 4:30, quarter to 5 this morning, and yeah, right up Cootha and a few hills and yeah, just trying to keep fit that way with a bit of cross training. So fortunately, it's not hurting to ride the bike. So at least I can do something.
Oh, that's so good. And with the injury too, it might have been a very different conversation a few weeks ago or a month ago if I caught you there, Rob, because the Ballarat Marathon was very much in the picture to race, wasn't it? And that's next weekend as well. So, yeah, what were your plans for that in terms of goals, and how was your training looking before the injury, and what actually is that injury that you've obtained?
Yeah, look, I've had an X-ray done, so I think it's probably a little stress fracture. We'll find out, yeah, on Tuesday. But yeah, look, yeah, training was going really well. So juggling, yeah, work and yeah, a bub as well, and family life as well as training was pretty hard. But I was managing to yeah run pretty well over track season. So I set a PB over 3K and a 5K PB as well. So yeah, 8:42 and then 14:44 over track season.
Wow.
So then I had a week off just to recharge after state 3K champs, and then yeah, came back and I was ready to get stuck into half marathon training for Ballarat. And it's something flared up in the foot. So yeah, unfortunately, these things happens from time to time.
Yeah, it's a real shame. But what did you sort of hear about the Ballarat Marathon? It's the second year, I believe, of that event. They've changed the course a bit. They've taken out a hill that I know of, that to make it virtually a flat marathon. They want to sell it as that, and a marathon that sort of can just get those runners a stepping stone, I guess, to get those runners up to those more renowned marathons like Gold Coast and Melbourne and Sydney and these larger events.
Yeah, look, I heard about it through like Inside Running podcast, and their social media platforms, and then a bit of word of mouth too. The first year went pretty well, and then they changed the course, as you said, and the set for the second year. And look, it was a good excuse to go down and have a go. Like they've got pretty good deep fields for both the marathon and half marathon, so it's a good chance to A, see somewhere new, and B, get out there and toe the line against some good runners.
Yeah, it seems to be set up pretty well. Of course, the time of year lends itself very well to weather. So the weather's generally going to be pretty good. I've heard about the winds potentially being an issue, but in terms of temperature, definitely ideal down there. And it's the mecca, isn't it, of running in this country, in the state of Victoria as well. So yeah, hoping that all things go well on that front. Yes, Inside Running have definitely been promoting it. Monteghetti's been on there; he's been fantastic, but they've had a few constant athletes. A guy called Jason, I think his name is, if I got that correct. He's been recapping his weeks, just a rec runner out there as part of the event leading into it, just to get some of those rec runners resonating with athletes on a similar level. So,
Yeah, and that's what it's all about too. Like, it's a marathon is a big accomplishment for a lot of people. So it might be the biggest accomplishment they ever do in a running journey. So
yes.
like there are lots of people that will be out there and they want to relate to someone that's just plodding along, the average Joe. And
Yes.
that's a great idea. We can't all be like really good at the end of the day, so.
That's right. Before we continue, you've got a massive agenda, and that's going to entail just sort of getting to know you a bit more so, Rob, as a person, but also running through those PBs and achievements. You've just given us a couple there. The rain is absolutely coming down now. I'm not sure if you can hear it, but we'll continue through the running story always of the guests. We like to hear about what's led to their running today, and then get into your training week and how that's tied into distance culture. Maybe you can tie in the leading to Ballarat as well, and how that is connected to how you train in the distance culture. And then also upcoming events now in the future, considering that injury and what the year now looks like ahead. But yeah, before we get to any of those latter agenda items, we've got a bit of news here to talk about. There's been so much happening. It's like the last few months have just been crazy. World records, Australian records going down. I sort of thought hard about where we start with this, but we've narrowed it down to that Murray Plant meet just last week in the Australian champs. Did you get to watch much of the Murray Plant the other week?
Unfortunately, it was out, and then we had to put our baby down for bed, so I didn't get to see too much. I got to see the last bit of the mile, actually, so that was good. So the last event, but otherwise, that was bloody good racing, and then the 200, the 200, 200, yes,
Yeah, the
Gout
Gyat
got beaten.
Yes. Yeah, it wasn't that interesting, but always potentially a chance of happening as well. The Gyat was taken down by someone just a couple of years senior of him as well. But back on the distance running, I thought the highlight for me, and I may be biased being a male, but Kai Robinson, taking out that 5,000 with Seth O'Donnell. So he's a real up and comer, and he's sort of attracting. He's a character, and he's got a very big social media, well, a rising social media presence too. Got the long hair. He's in a band apparently. He had it. Did you see the random? Was it a 1500? I think the lights went out during it. Just about 3 weeks to 4 weeks ago, the lights went out on the last lap, and he's finished in a 3:35 in a local race.
Wow.
So the man has got serious potential. But Kyle Robinson, come back from America. He's been on this show. He's been around the traps in America for a number of years now, and he seems to be forgotten about from the mainland of Australia. But he pops up and tends to get great results. So I think 13-13 for him, and then he had that 3K record indoor back in America as well. So both these guys are exciting moving forward.
Yeah, that's right. I think he took it off Cam Myers the week before. He might have set it the week before for the 3K indoor. So,
Yes.
yeah,
Yeah.
Australian records are going down left, right, and center at the moment. So it's good to watch.
Yeah, and that 5,000, it's going to be, I reckon, a pretty similar run between Kai and Seth in that 5,000 again. And, only 2 days at the Australian Champs. Seth and Kai there again. Jack Bruce, I think he PB'd that as well.
That'll
Yeah.
be interesting because he's entered in the 3K steeple as well. So I don't know what
Ah, okay.
Jack's intentions are, but it will be interesting. We'll see if he backs up or not, or he enters one or races one or the other.
He's been around for a while, hasn't he? Chipping away, and he's ever so slightly improved, but I think he's persisting for that sort of breakthrough. But he's obviously very there and about, so that'll be interesting. Jess Hull, of course, is running around again, and she's got to be the favourite. For she's in the 15 and the 5K, so that'll be exciting too, won't it?
Of course, yeah. And that ding dong battle of the 1500, that's going to be very good. Like, yeah, Cam's in there, and then you got Jude. I'll be watching Sam Blake, I guess, because yeah, I grew up running with him in
Oh,
Ritchie
okay.
Athletics. So yeah, we'll watch him and hopefully he goes quite well. So
Yeah, so what's his PB then, Rob?
oh geez, I think it's like 3:35 or 6
Wow.
off the top of my head. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Adam Spencer there too. He's been right up there as well. So that'll be, yeah, very, very tight. Surely Cam's still the favorite in that race, but that'll be interesting. Also, we've got to mention London Marathon because you are a big fan of the marathon yourself, and you put this one to me. What are you making the lead up to this marathon, Rob? A bit going on, hey?
God, they just got ridiculous bloody pockets, the London Marathon. Like, I'm just going to read out some of the
Go
entrants.
ahead.
Like, you got Kipchoge, of course. And then we've got Sebastian Solway. I think that's how you pronounce it. Alexander
Yes.
Matisseau. You've got Tamarat Tola, so the Olympic champion. You've got Abdi Ngaghi. And then you've got Sondre Mohan, who I know of thanks to Christian from Norway being talking about him on Inside Running a bit. Andy Buchanan. And
Yeah.
then there's one guy, oh, of course, Brett Robinson, Jack Rayner, but there's one guy that I'm really interested in, and he falls about seventh last on the entrance. Chris Thomas. He's a UK athlete. He ran with me at Thames Valley Harriers when I lived over there. PB of 2:16, and I reckon he's going to smash that in a few weeks' time.
Wow, that's exciting. Isn't that some kind of list? Did we mention Kip Lemo there as well? The
Oh yeah, Kiplima.
recent, well,
Bloody
he beat
hell,
his own half marathon world
yeah.
record, debuting now as well. Like, how do you think he can go?
Oh, I think he's low 2:201 marathoner. We'll just see. Like, you never know with a debut, I guess. But yeah, it's going to be very exciting.
Yes, and
And the women's as well. Like, you've got Chepchichir, Chepngetich, you've got Hassan, of course. Like, it's just ridiculous, the depth there.
Oh, it's going crazy at the moment, but it seems to all be culminating to this London Marathon. And I've got a feeling that Rayner's, unless he's been injured, has been putting aside a few races. He's not the Australian champs at the moment. He didn't do Murray Plant. He's meant to do the 5,000 there. Potentially would have won that ahead of Kai. Of course, he wasn't in the event, so we can't assume anything. But he was meant to be in that race. Maybe he's prioritizing this marathon. I'm not too sure, but he's had, my guess is about 4 years off the marathon itself and gone back to 10K, 5K stuff, half marathons, hasn't he?
Yes, he has. Because he was at Tokyo Marathon, the Olympics, and he had a stress fracture and he still tried to run it, I think.
Oh, yes. Yeah, back in 21. So that is 4 years. Yeah, so we'll have to see how he bodes as well. No Aussie women there. No Pat Tiernan. Is that correct that you know
Yeah,
of? No
that's
Pat
right. Yeah, I
Tiernan.
didn't see him on the entrance, so which is a shame, but he might be. Oh, I think he's actually running Boston. I might be wrong there, but I think there was chatter about him running Boston.
Sounds right. He's been on and off in America for a while, and he tends to favor those events, doesn't he?
But anyway, hopefully he has a crack at the Australian record soon.
Yeah, 100%. I think there's a few, like obviously Andy's right up there now, and he's very confident. He's been on this podcast only within the last few months talking about the fact that he finished that race, and he's now talking about training going better than as ever has. So that'll be exciting to see if he can even lower his 206.
Yeah,
Imagine seeing
that's
a
right.
205 for an Australian runner.
Hey, could do. Yeah, and with that sort of field too in London, like he's going to get towed along. There'll be a second group, second
Yes.
pack that's not going out at 201 pace. So yeah,
Yeah.
hopefully he finds a good group and they work together and they can bring it home for good times.
Yes. Well, let's get to you, Rob, because we'd just like to hear about the guests behind the scenes before we get into the running. And we've spoken about being a dad, not so much travel yet. I know you like to get around the country and the world traveling. What do you do for work as well, and what sort of bides time away from the running?
I work for a beef and cattle company, privately owned, vertically integrated, one of the biggest family-owned cattle companies in Australia that you'd never heard of. So been there ever since I got back from London in 2020. 5 and a bit years now. So I'm finance manager for them. I work 2 days a week out at Grantham. So they're a couple of long days. So I'm out. Leaving here about 6 o'clock to get to the meatworks by about 7:30. And outside of that, of course, married. Our baby just turned 1 last week, so that's been a nice addition to the family. It has had its challenges, of course, like any mother or father could relate to, but wouldn't take it back, that's for sure. It's been really good. Love to travel. So we spent a couple of years over in the UK, in our late 20s. Just living over there and working and then traveling on weekends. It's just so easy to go around Europe, a 2 hour flight and you're in
Oh yeah.
a range of different locations, which was really good. So, and you get to appreciate different cultures and foods and ways of living as well. So, we're very sheltered over here in Australia, I realized when we got home. So,
And have you done a few events running wise over in the UK or Europe?
So when I got over there, I joined up with Thames Valley Harriers, a London team, well, London squad. They're based inner northwest London, so near Shepherd's Bush for any people that are familiar with London. I mean, our stadium was called like Linford Christie Stadium, so he
Right.
was one of the members of our club back in the day. So, it has a rich history. So we'd go around all the cross country races, road races, national champs, and then you get discounted entries into like your London marathons and other events as well. So, there's a lot more racing opportunities over there, not just in the UK, but then just a short plane trip over to the continent as well. So, I raced. Like the Prague Marathon, that was my first marathon. Raced the Valencia Half, and it was huge back then in 2018, and now it's just exploded ever since. Because I think there was a world record on that day by a guy that eventually got popped for the EPO, but it just created more hype, and everyone goes there now to run a quick half and a quick marathon. London Marathon, Amsterdam. Return to run Rotterdam Marathon as well. So run a few big races over there, and just like London Marathon, it's second to none. The crowds are nuts. the whole way around the course. Like, I've never had that feeling, like that sensation where people are just yelling at you at the 40K mark, and it's just deafening. It's just something like I recommend everyone to try and experience at some point. If you're fast enough to get a good for age or championship qualifying time, or you're just a fundraiser, like you can get in via a charity spot and just get over there and experience it.
Yeah, definitely. And then that maybe Sydney maybe heading that way where we lack the following and support around the courses. Of course, the finishing areas have been crazy for years. Like you think of Gold Coast to Melbourne to Sydney's, but I do believe Sydney as that being on now the world stage, trying to get that support around the entire course. And that's obviously a very different thing. Andy spoke about Paris, the Olympics, being, that on steroids. And he actually said he didn't like it. It was too much stimulus and too intense the whole way, which was interesting to hear. But for those who thrive on that, must be an amazing feeling. Now, how have you sort of balanced that dad life with the running too? Because we do have many listeners on here, dads and mums who've had kids recently or are currently pregnant as well, having a listen. So how's the year looked for you with that, trying to get the running in?
It has been a challenge, and you're running like very early in the morning or late in the afternoon or around nap times. Fortunately, yeah, she's one now. So at the age of about 7 or 8 months, she was in a running pram with me. She was like big enough to sit in a running pram supported. So when that happened, she was coming out with me a few days a week, which helped me get my training in, helped mum, like my wife, get some extra sleep and a bit of a break from her as well. And she just loves it too. Our daughter, she loves being in the pram and looking around, and she often fell asleep. Like nine
Oh,
times out of 10, she'd fall asleep in the running pram. So that was good. So yeah,
that's great.
it is a challenge. Like, you just got to realize that, yeah, you just got to be so time conscious and very, very strict and regimented with your time. And then there will be days where you have a rough night and overnight, and you just go, well, I'm going to try and do my session in the afternoon instead of the morning. So it's just not going to work off 3 hours sleep or whatever. So it is pretty hard. And then you throw in work as well. And I'm traveling, what, 6 hours a week out to Grantham, like an hour and a half each way. So that's extra time on the, yeah, out of the home, and yeah, away from being able to train as well. It's sort of, yeah, dead time driving to and from. But yeah, that's part of the job.
Yes. It can almost drive more diligence than you've ever had before when you have to be so meticulous about when you're running and how you're going about it. You mentioned those PBs too. So of course they've come about, running's peaked, I guess, naturally at this age and from the history leading to now. But maybe that's a part of it, organizing that running around the baby. I've PB'd too since having my son. I'm sure my wife thinks I run too much and talk about it and think about it too much, but there's definitely something to that, but it can go both ways, can't it? The ones that really have troubles, we've got to acknowledge those that mentally, emotionally, or the baby's not sleeping, especially for the lady coming back to the sport. So it seems like you've been a combination of lucky, but also being diligent, trying to work around that. More of a morning or afternoon, evening guy with that running now.
Oh, yeah, I try and get out in the mornings, to be honest. Yeah. Morning's better. I'm a morning person. So yeah, get out the door and get stuck into it straight away. So yeah, start the day well.
Yeah, love it. Hey, let's tie these PBs and achievements into the running story. I reckon you mentioned two just earlier, but if we sort of head back to even school age, where you sort of attended school and how, if any, running looked back then and how it's led to you now. I'm assuming you're into your 30s, Rob, but I don't know your exact age. Do we want to start back at the beginning?
Mid-30s now. So, like, to be honest, in school, I was just doing it for fitness. So I used to play golf as a kid. So up at the Sunny Coast. So there's a couple of good professionals that I used to like play against and with, in development squads that are junior tournaments that are, yeah, going very well now, like Cameron Smith and Jason Day. So they're about the same age as me, and you could tell from a young age they were going to be bloody good. But there's only like a small fraction that make it as a professional golfer. So like they're two of the very good golfers that we were playing against as kids. Yeah, but they've kicked on and gone really well. So yeah, running was just, a bit of, well, a couple of days a week, just a bit of, exercise to keep you mentally fresh later on, like 16, 17, 18th holes, in a golf round. Yeah, somehow like still came first or second in my school cross country each year. And then yeah, just sort of gave running away for a little while when I went into university. Started bodyboarding and surfing a bit, boxing a bit. But yeah, golf went away because it was just too time consuming. I was getting fed up with spending 5, 6 hours on a golf course because people were just playing slow in front of you, and it was just becoming frustrating. So, and then I really started picking up running again when I got my first job, like 9 to 5 job. I was in my last year of uni and I was working full time, and I needed an excuse not to go out on the Terps in the Mooloolaba Bar every weekend. So I went, I'm just gonna say I'm running on Saturday, Sunday mornings, and I won't be out with my mates, and I'll feel good about myself. So I just did that. I just started running Saturday, Sundays, and then started running the Sunshine Coast Cross Country Series again. So I did that a little bit as a kid, and I ran into Peter Bock, and I joined his group, Marucci Athletics, and his group. So that's where, yeah, I met Sam Blake. Of course, he was a lot younger. He's 5, 6 years younger than me, I think. But and then a few others as well. Like, and then I just started getting more disciplined. So Tuesday and Thursday afternoons, we were training as a squad, and then we'd like do a cross country on Sunday, or we'd do a long run together. So and then it just built from there, really. I came down to Brisbane. Pete recommended Mike Whiting's group, so Distance Culture. It wasn't, we didn't have a name for our squad back then, and yeah, joined them, and like they were a hell of a lot better than me at the time. So and a lot of them still are. So I joined them, and it just really started to push a bit more, push me a bit more, and try and get as much as I could out of myself. So I mean, yeah, we had like Darryl Crook and Jay Twist and Matt Carlson. And they were all running 30, 30, 30, 40 back then when I first joined in like 2013, 2014. So, and here you go, oh, geez, I think I'm going all right, breaking 35. Nah, you got to pick up the game here. So it was good. And then, yeah, we just kept on chipping away, and people came and went. And yeah, we got Grant and Drew there as well, and Nick and Brandon Dewar, of course. So Brandon's in London at the moment, but hopefully he comes back and joins our group again. Yeah, and we've had a few that have come and gone over the time. So like Ryan Fisher was part of our group, a
Oh, lovely.
triathlete. He was part of our group at early on, for a little while. So, and he was toweling us all up and he was a triathlete. So yeah, but yeah, then I guess really just running started to get a lot more serious and better when I moved over to the UK. So I'd finished like my CPA studies. I'd stopped renovating a house. I had more time to train and just train and work, and that was about it, and travel. So yeah, started getting right into it. So I ran 2:45 for my first marathon in Prague with a stress
Oh, tandy.
fracture, and then yeah, about a year later, I ran 2:30:09 in London. So yeah, just turned around, and then ran 2:29 later in the year in Amsterdam. So just slowly kept chipping away, and had a good coach over there at Thames Valley, so, and a good squad to train with. And yeah, I mean, running's just, it's just full on over there too. There's so many people doing it. There's such depth. If you're running top 20 in a Met League, like a local district cross country race, you're doing pretty good. So yeah, I think I came 19th once, and I was pretty happy with that. So yeah. Yeah. And then yeah, came back from London in 2020, and then rejoined Distance Culture, and then started running some good PBs as well. So broke 15 for the first time a few years ago, for 5K. Ran 31:02 at Goldie a few years ago, 68 for the half, 68:01, and then down to 2:24 now for the marathon, which I ran in Tokyo last year.
Tokyo last year.
Yeah.
Yes, and how was that experience, the marathon? If we start there at
Oh,
Tokyo, did that
yeah.
go all well? Was it the struggle to the end?
Look, it yeah. To be honest, I finished the race and I was disappointed. So, yeah, poured a lot into it, and I knew like that was probably going to be my last decent shot without a baby or without a kid around. So we were due in April, and yeah, it
Oh, yeah.
happened in early March last year. And yeah, I was training pretty well, but it was a very hot summer, of course, and hot and humid. And I think it just maybe I just cooked it a little bit too much in the preparations. So yeah, I went through half in 71, 71:15 or thereabouts, and I was going pretty well up to about 35K, and then started cramping in the hammies. And yeah, I just got to the finish line really. So in a marathon, like you think you're running straight, and then all of a sudden you find you're on the other side of the road and you're like, oh dear, this isn't good. I'm right on the limit here. I might not finish. So yeah, that was a bit scary. I'd never had that experience before, but yeah, managed to finish in 2:24. And I like the event itself, great event, like second to London, just massive crowds, all cheering, all polite, and
Yeah,
it
good
was a
weather.
yeah, good experience. Like, but it's a funny race. Like so many of the Japanese, they go out way too hard and they blow,
Yeah,
and
I've
they're
heard
doing it
this.
from the 14K mark. And
Yes.
this group that I was with, they all started running. We're running like 320s, 325s, thereabouts, so the first 14, 15K. And then they started running 330s. I'm like, what the hell's going on? You're like two-thirds of the way to go. So I ran from 14K to the finish basically solo. It was quite an experience. Like no one knew how to pace themselves properly that day. But yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. And so out of these runs, what's your favorite, but also what's your pick of the PBs there? Is it the half?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. The half, yeah, I ran that at Sunny Coast in 2023. Yes, 2023, around 6801. I think I came top 10 in this the Australian champs, but Cedar Surf was on the same day, so I'm not really counting it as a top 10. Yeah,
Oh,
but
yeah.
yeah, like that was probably one of the better PBs for me at the moment. So hopefully I can knock those PBs down in the months and years to come. But you never know. You can't take it for granted, really. You might not be as fit next week. So yeah, just try and make the most of these days and these months, and eventually, yeah, the inevitable happens and we start declining. So
Yes, yeah. And where do you think your talents lie across those events moving forward? Like, which one suits you the most? Because we tend to do a lot of events these days, don't we? We like to do fives all the way to the marathons as
and I
rec
think
runners
that's
or sub-elite runners.
yeah, I think that's good for the development of all these different energy systems too. And
Yeah.
I mean, the new shoes are really helping in that regard. Like, they're making the marathon less of a mountain to climb, I guess, in my opinion. But yeah, I think my talents lie in the half marathon, the marathon. Like, the longer the race, the better. I just don't have that fast twitch, quick speed. So
Yes.
I'm more of a diesel engine as such. So just grind it out and keep going at a certain pace. So, yeah. Track season this year, trying to work on that speed, and it has helped. Hopefully when I'm back running again, that will flow through to the roads. Gold Coast is a big aim this year, but yeah, we'll just see how that goes in the next couple of weeks anyway with
Yeah,
the
what's good for
injury.
training then, Rob? Talking of Gold Coast and this year, what's your regular training week look like, and how does that look also with coach too, and the setup at Distance Culture? Because I believe, from what I recall talking to Drew about it, there's sort of one more formal track session or speed session rather in the week, and the rest is sort of overseen by the coach with programming, and you live in different areas, so that sort of community feel and being together is a bit different there, and often trying to run together where you can. So how does that set up all work?
Yeah, like we do our own thing basically every day except for Tuesday and Saturday. So Tuesdays are your group based track session effectively out at UQ, and then your Saturday is your longer reps, like your thresholds, or your hills or your marathon specific sessions if you're a marathon runner. So, there's a few of us in the squad that do that on Saturdays. So yeah, Drew's one. Grant Williams is another. And then we've got Christo O'Bracken up in Toowoomba. He's also a marathoner, so he does his own stuff solo. And then myself. And there's others as well that join in during the marathons block. So Denny's our new Kiwi recruit. He's been with the squad maybe 12 months now, and yeah, he loves it. He's a good frother, and he's a good runner too. So he's a good addition. But yeah, Tuesdays we all try and run together when we can. Of course, there's a few of us that just doesn't work. Tuesday mornings, Drew and I run solo basically because it works with our timetables, and we need to be home for bedtime for with our kids. So, well, for me anyway, Drew just likes running in the morning, full stop. So it works with his routine. Sorry, I'm just going to shut the window. It's
Go
starting to
for it.
rain now. The rain's made it from Nudgee
Oh, I've had
to
my window semi-open here. It's been pissing down the background, trying to
Mitchelton.
listen and focus. And yeah, hopefully you haven't heard anything there. But yeah, go ahead. Talking of Drew, the training there.
So Drew does a lot of it solo, of course, but we generally try and link up all as a group on Saturday mornings, so we all have a bit more spare time, I guess. So yeah, it works out well. We're either at UQ or White's Hill or even at Griffith at the hill there, sometimes at West End, when we want to have a bagel afterwards. So there's a bagel shop there near the West End markets that we like to go and visit from time to time. Yeah, but otherwise it's just, yeah, make your own training up. We've all got different volumes that we run. So there's some that we might run 60 to 80K a week, and there's some of us that are, yeah, punching out 100 plus every week. So Mike's very flexible in that regard, and it depends on your background and your injury proneness. He's very good. He's very understanding, and he spends the time and invests the time in us. That's why our group is quite small. He likes to be particular with who he allows in the group, and it's not a mates group at all. Like we have become very good friends, of course, but that's not the reason we're a small group. So we like to just keep it nice and intimate, I guess. And that way he can focus on each and every one of us equally.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question, and what I meant before by community too, and anything to do with that, I meant locationally. That, like you mentioned, Toowoomba, you got Drew up here in Nudgee, and runners spread around. That you're not locationally as close to some other running groups, and there's so many out there now. It's kind of shifted, hasn't it, Rob? You might have noticed, like there used to be, when the groups were around, and I was part of it too. There was sort of a coach and a front man that was. Or lady running the group, and now it's more like the groups informally meet up or have committees and are sort of group led, and runners just do those runs and learn through talking to other runners within the groups, and that's what it seems like that you've all got so much out of that at distance culture is that specific coaching, that smaller group style, and of course you're all sub elite, if not elite runners, getting that specialized attention.
That's right. And like we try and help each other out as well in that regard too. So, like we'll try and do pace jobs for others if they're trying to set a PB or whatnot, and or jump into marathon specific sessions. So like I know Mike will be getting in himself, he'll be getting stuck into a marathon later in the year. So we'll happily jump in and help him out. So yeah, we like to have that feel and camaraderie amongst the group. I mean, some probably think we're a bit intimidating on the outside, but we're not. We're just yeah, we're or a lot of us are introverted, and we just keep to ourselves. So, and we just try and focus on us and the group in that regard.
Yeah, well, let's split up the actual week itself, Rob. So Monday to Sunday, what you're sort of running philosophies are with that, with volume and intensity and how the spread looks across the week to cater for all the events you've done. I know, like, how many marathons have you done so far? Just quickly, sorry, sort of 10 to 15 marathons. Am I in the ballpark there?
8 or 9, I think. Yeah,
Okay, yeah. So
roughly.
that's been more so the last sort of 5, 4 years, hasn't it? So how does the training look to prepare for those? But then also when you're talking about doing these track events or going anywhere near 5Ks or park runs or anything like that.
Yeah, sure. So look, the weeks aren't too dissimilar depending on track or marathon season. So Monday will be an easy jog up to an hour. Tuesday will be a session, so a speed-based session or quicker reps. Wednesday, again, easy jog. Thursday, medium long, so maybe up to 90 minutes in the Mara block. Friday, I generally take off. And Saturday will be, another specific session, whether that's threshold work or hills or marathon specific. And then Sunday will be, in marathon block, it will be an easy recovery run up to maybe 75 minutes, or it will be my weekly long run if we're in track season. We've just done a shorter session on the Saturday. Just the difference for me in training track to marathon block, I'll do some doubles in there as well. So like maybe a Tuesday, Thursday, I'll double depending on my schedule and whatnot. And then I also commute to work. When I'm working in town, I'll ride the pushy or I'll run in. So yeah, getting the volume in that way instead of hopping on a train or a bus. Of course there's strength and conditioning in there. So yeah, like a maybe a Monday or Tuesday, I'll be no, Monday or Wednesday, I'll be doing a harder, like a heavier gym session, and then the Sunday I'll be doing like a lighter one as well. So more on form. And then your core strength, of course, as well. So,
Yeah, is that something Michael pushes with the coaching to ensure that that strength training's in there?
yeah, look, he at the end of the day, he says, look, I can't force you to do anything, so I recommend you do it, and it's up to the individual. But yes, we used to do it every Monday and Wednesday. We'd go to FitNance over at South Brisbane, no, East Brisbane, sorry, back in the day. And we'd do a gym session Monday, Wednesday. And that was, like six of us would rock up from the squad every Monday, Wednesday. So there are benefits, of course. It's been proven by science and these elite runners that all do it. So, it's up to the individual, but yes, he highly recommends it, along with diet too. Like we've had nutritionists in talking about fueling correctly and that sort of thing. And it's really then here's the tools, just go and try and make it work around your life as well. So whether you want to eat properly or not, that's up to you. But your training's going to suffer if you're not eating right. Same with gym, so you're just going to break down. So yeah, that's all important. And we're all adults, so he treats us like that too.
Yeah, it seems pretty comprehensive. If we just stick with that marathon training too, because like there's a lot of people now running the marathon, as you know, like it's the running boom has for whatever reason lent itself to the marathon, which is interesting that everyone's going straight to the longest event. But anyway, like there's people that are surviving that build and some that are breaking down, and that strength training is important. But what's been a part of that recipe for a lot of runners is trying to work out like when they do those marathon-paced efforts. And there's a model for most people in this country anyway, that Saturday seems to be a bit rarer, Rob, as you may know, that Thursday, Friday seems to be the more tempo threshold day. If we're going to call it an Australian model out there, where runners are doing, say, a bigger Friday of tempo threshold work. So we're talking about like marathon or half marathon pace with that, which may be half an hour or 40 minutes or broken up. And then on a Sunday as well, or in exchange to that. So they're not doing that Friday, but they're doing it in Sunday, as long as up to sort of 20K of work leading into a marathon. So is there a sort of an ultimate session there that you finish with, or that do you try and block together those efforts so you get to the race day having experienced that pace in training?
Oh yeah, of course. So like our Saturdays are like marathon specific, and that's why the long run goes out on the Sunday. We're doing 35, 40 Ks on the Saturday. So we're doing like 4x5K, or we're doing, 2x10 or 2x12. And I floated to Mike that I want to try and do like 90 minutes continuous, like a few weeks out from Gold Coast. So just tinkering and just trying different ideas. Of course, like with that, we just can't fit it in on a Friday because we all work full time. So you'd be up at 4 o'clock to try and get a session done. So that's why the Saturday, and that's why we stray a little bit from the traditional Australian model in that regard. We used to, when I first started, we used to train Tuesday, Thursday afternoons and Saturday morning. And then we found that a few of us were breaking down. We're just doing too much and in like not enough rest, I guess, between days. So that Thursday afternoon, Saturday morning probably was the cherry on the top, that was causing a few breakdowns. So we just went back to a Tuesday, Thursday model, and then we changed Tuesday, Saturday model, and we changed Thursday to, medium long with some strides in there, some hill strides or something like that. So it gave us a chance to recover properly for between sessions, and we do the two sessions well.
So then the Sunday ultimately ends up being the long run day in those marathon blocks, where if you're putting together 4x5K, that you've got a long warm up and cool down to sort of
Yeah,
hit
that's right.
30,
Yeah,
30 plus
exactly
K.
right. So you try and do, well, I was trying to do like, 45 minute warm up, 30 to 45 minute warm up. So you're not on fresh legs as such. You want to try and hit it with some tiredness in the legs because, that's the point. You want to feel a bit garbage in your training session, so you know what it's going to feel like on marathon day, like in the back end, because it's just inevitable. The body's going to tire and deplete of resources, and you need to be ready for it physically and mentally, how to handle it.
There's so many options, isn't there, with that weekly setup? And as you alluded to, like, work can really influence when you do these sessions and how that week looks in general, or just the fact that your running group does do that model and you just follow along with that, and that's how you do things because others are doing it. So it'd be interesting to see if people didn't have jobs or these things and what they would actually choose that would really sort of suit them. Obviously, the elite athletes get more of a choice with that.
Yeah, that's right. Look, to be honest, I'd probably go Tuesday, Friday, Sunday sort of thing. Yeah, you do Tuesday, Friday as your session days, and Sunday as a long run. So that would be my personal preference if, not working full time, where you were working reduced hours on the Friday. So giving yourself a bit more recovery time. But I mean, realistically, we're not all elite athletes. We're not the best in the world. So we've got to, like, running's a clear second or third in our lives.
Well, you're a 224 guy, so I want to go back to that nutrition you're talking about, Robin. How, probably as a last talking point in this conversation about race day, those days leading up, what you've learned as a marathoner now doing what 8 marathons aroundabouts in the last handful of years, and also just generally, I just honestly think that I get worried about, me included, that a lot of people are under fueling when training for a marathon, particularly if they've upped the mileage and they continue just to consume what they were previous to that change. And I just want to sort of learn about what you've done to result in those sort of PBs and 224 kind of experiences and achievements.
Look, you're absolutely right. Like, people do continue to eat what they were, and they're just not setting themselves up for success on race day. And what I've found is, like, I'll eat more, but I'm keeping like maintaining my weight. Which is like a good sign. So you're not drastically reducing weight. So it's just getting the right balance of, your carbs, your proteins at the right time as well. So you've got to hit some protein after a session, pretty quickly. Plenty of fruits and vegetables, of course, and try and keep the junk to a minimum. In the lead up to like Tokyo, I knew that, well, I wasn't going to be able to eat exactly what I wanted in the days prior, because I got there on the Wednesday. So I was just preparing by eating a lot of different Japanese food as well in the lead up, and seeing how the body responded to it. So it wasn't going to become a foreign sort of foreign meal in my belly the day before a race, and I'm yeah, not cooperating. So that's all part of it too. So you just gotta, yeah, think about where you're running, what food could be readily available. Do you have cooking facilities? Okay, well, there might be some sort of compromises you need to make. And then like on the day before a marathon, like my pre-race meal used to be, pasta, no, not pasta, rice and quinoa with steak and veggies. And then I realized, oh, probably not a good idea to have steak the night before a race. Like it was just too heavy on the belly. So I just substituted that out with chicken. And yeah, it certainly made a big difference. In results from now on and how you feel on race day, not as lethargic as well. So, I've listened to a fair few different like podcasts and done a bit of reading too. So I know Brad Beer did one with Rico, someone or other, who was like a coach, big coach for a couple of the big pro cyclists. And yeah, he's given me ideas of what to do in the taper as well with regards to food and training and that sort of thing too. So you gotta look outside your box and think, oh, there could be other ways of doing this. Trying to find an improvement in oneself and how you can get the best out of you on race day.
Yeah, and in race day as well, what do you consume there for nutrition?
Yeah, so a marathon, I will have 2 pieces of toast with peanut butter, honey, and banana, probably about 2 hours before the race. And then I'll probably have the, and then I really keep it very open to me how I'm feeling, like in the next hour and a half before the race, like up to 30 minutes prior. Okay, am I still hungry? All right, I might have half a muesli bar. I'll get that down. If I'm not feeling like that, I'll just have a gel, like on the start line sort of thing. So I'm not exactly regimented with additional food between that 2 hour to race time, but just letting the body dictate what it needs. But I do, yeah, the routine is always, yeah, peanut butter, honey, banana on toast, yeah, on race morning, a couple of hours prior.
Yeah, and gels, do you take a flask out there? What's your approach actually
Yeah,
on the
yeah,
course?
yeah. So I don't, I had a bad experience in Canberra where we had dedicated drinks out. This is back in 2021, drinks and gels on tables, and they were everywhere. They were just placed on a table, and you just had to find it. There was no order about it, and I just got scarred for it from it, and went, "Oh, never again am I going to take that risk of not carrying gels or nutrition with me." So I carry all my gels with me when I race. So that's up to maybe five gels I'll have on me. And then I'll just take water at the water stations. So that's my strategy. And I'm sure a lot of races do it a lot better than what Canberra did back then. But yeah, I don't, yeah, I like to keep the variables to a limit, I guess, as such.
Yeah. How do you carry the gels though? Like that's changing a bit. They've been trying to engineer sort of tights now that can cater for multiple gels in pockets or shorts and things like this. What do you do? How do you carry those?
Yeah, so before London Marathon back in 2019, I went looking for a pair of shorts, like running shorts that would suit this purpose. So there's a bit of research in there. I ended up at a very bespoke running shop in central London, and I found a pair of Ronhills that basically they have the back of the short. You've got the zipper, the conventional zipper, so you can fit two gels in there. And then they've got the little pockets vertical that you can fit a gel in each. So that worked perfectly for me. Like I was only taking 4 gels back then. And so I was able to rip them out very easily and conveniently. And they weren't like, I guess they didn't feel bad. Like they weren't like a friction or they weren't weighing me down as such. They felt quite good. And I've still got those shorts. I wear them nearly in every marathon, to be honest. So yeah, they work well. There are tights out there on the market that do the same thing too. So, yeah, and they and like they're only 50, 60 grams per gel, so they're not that bigger weight, really. So.
Yeah, that's getting pretty picky if you're thinking about the weight of the gels, but that it probably outweighs having that nutrition on you than the weight anyway.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, you'd rather have the nutrition there than bonk and lose minutes in a race. So yeah, that's my thinking anyway.
Exactly. Hey mate, we've almost got an hour here, which I love to have these around an hour, and I think it'd be fitting to finish with a mate of ours, and probably more so with you, Drew Williams. He's got a listener question, and maybe we've answered it, maybe we haven't. But if you can think of a succinct answer to this, potentially, he says, "What do you credit or attribute to your improvement in the marathon? Is it the specific sessions? Is it the overall volume, or as general as just successive blocks of work over time?"
Yeah, okay. Succinctly, I'll say rest and I'll
Nice, I
say,
like
yeah,
that.
building blocks as well. So just being consistent in your running. End of the
That's
day. And that's as simple as that. Like, so I know I talked about it earlier. So before going to London, I was studying CPA, working full time, renovating a house with the old man and trying to fit in training. And I was constantly breaking down or feeling sick, and I was running 34 minutes for 10K. I wouldn't even dream of doing a marathon back then. I think I ran 77 minutes for a half. And then went over there, and it was like a big reboot. Okay, I can actually be consistent with my running. I can rest when I need to. I can go to work, and then I can come home and train, and that's it. Like, just make sure I eat well. And that's really helped. Like it, and it took a while to come to fruition, I guess. It's not overnight that all of a sudden, because you're resting, you're going to run well. But yeah, it just took about maybe a year or thereabouts, and it just started building and building. You get momentum out of it. So, I mean, yeah, people think there's a magic bullet and they try and overthink things, but it's simple as that for me.
Yeah. Let's just dive into that a little bit more closely before we finish with rest. Because for some people, rest is jumping in an ice bath or getting a massage. Now, I'm going to assume that for you, rest is actually rest, not doing anything, sleeping, or doing something that is very mild in intensity. Would I be correct in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. So, like, back in London, like you'd finish a long run on the Sunday, up to maybe 40 Ks, and then I'd just come home, I'd have breakfast, and I'd sit on the couch for like 3 hours, and I'd just watch TV. As simple as that. And then you go to bed at a reasonable time, like, and then the night before you'd be in bed at 9, 9:30, and be up at 6, like ready to go. So, yeah, just like that. There's none of this compression. I mean, yeah, foam rolling and stretching is very important. I do that every day, but yeah, it was as simple as that. No ice baths or anything like that.
Oh, I love it. Love the answer. And thanks for your time this afternoon, mate. The rain continues to come down heavily here in Brisbane. I'm not sure if it is for you, but
Yeah, we've got a storm now. April and we've got a thunderstorm. Weird.
yeah, it looks very dark. What's the time now? 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 2 o'clock. Feels about 5 o'clock. So good luck to
Man.
all of us. And yeah, appreciate your time coming on here. We took a bit of time, or I did, to get you back on here, but I'm glad to have you talk about distance culture and your marathoning of late, and good luck with the injury and Gold Coast, if you can put that all together moving forward, Rob.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Ollie. And yeah, good to talk. And yeah, hope your comeback is very soon as well.
Yeah, injury on my behalf, but anyway, I'll talk about that somewhere else, maybe not on this podcast to you. Have a great afternoon, Rob, and thank you again.
Good eye. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate. See ya.
Bye.
Did you know the local legends in running do online coaching? If you're interested, jump on Instagram into the bio and follow the links. If you've enjoyed listening to this series or episode or the podcast in general, jump on Spotify, give it a rating. I'd much appreciate it. Thanks so much for tuning in.